Connie Reagan Green. Connie today is going to talk about how to take your book's message further by turning it into an online course or live event, which is really the way to make a lot more money from your book, right? Because books you can only sell for maybe $10, $20 max. But if you turn it into an online course, you could take that same content or turn it into a live event and sell it for hundreds or thousands of dollars. So Connie Reagan Green is an online marketing strategist, best-selling author, and international speaker working with new entrepreneurs. A former classroom teacher and real estate broker and an appraiser, Connie left it all behind to start an online business in 2006, 10, 11 years ago. With clients on six continents, she loves working closely with people to help them create the business and lifestyle they deserve. She can do that for you as well. We already talked about her prize that we're giving out. And with that said, I'll bring in Connie, one of my favorite marketers. Hey, Connie, how are you?
I am fantastic, Ron. Thanks so much for having me at this event. All right, so we're going to talk about – should I go ahead? Are we ready?
Yeah, you can jump right in. Yep.
Okay, all right, we're going to talk about turning your book's content into an online course and a live event. So I'm going to go very detailed with this. So like Ron said, I came online in 2006, so this spring it's 11 years, and I've started teaching over and over and over again all of the topics that I've written books about. And I've spoken at more than 50 workshops, I've spoken at conferences, I host my own live events, and I'm going to talk about how I've turned two of my best-selling books into very, very popular and lucrative live events. And everything is based on the content from the books that I'm writing, so this is kind of the ultimate in repurposing, and I'm going to teach you exactly how you can do this. I'm not going to hold anything back, and as you have questions, please ask them. I don't want anyone to go away without their question answered. It's not my intention to hold back on anything. All right, so like they said, I'm a former classroom teacher. I've taught all the way K through 12, and kindergarten is my least favorite. I did it two of my 20 years. I did high school that I really loved. I only did that for a year. Now I work with high school students who I adore. But my teaching primarily for 14 of the years was 5th and 6th graders, so 11, 12-year-olds. And I loved that age group. They needed the role model that I could be for them then. And it was quite fantastic. I did real estate in my spare time, which is kind of funny, because if you're a classroom teacher or you know a classroom teacher, you know that they don't really have any spare time. So I did this after school. I did it weekends. I was at year-round schools, so we would go off track for 6 weeks at a time. And pretty much I would wake up the next day and jump right into real estate. I am still a broker, and I gave up being a real estate appraiser. I don't do any real estate for anybody but myself and my family at this point. But I was exhausted. I worked 6 or 7 days a week for most of that 20 years. And so I woke up one day in the spring of 2005, and I said, I'm going to create a new life for myself. And also along the way, it wasn't that I didn't love teaching anymore. It's just that after 20 years, I got older, and then situations arise, like I had a work injury that kept me out of work for about 4 months, and I've had cancer not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. And three of those were while I was teaching. And I thought, I have to do something very, very different. And in the spring of 2005, I figured out that people were teaching online. They were doing all kinds of things. And I wanted to jump in. And that's what I've done. I've created a new life for myself. And there I am. And Alice has met me in person. She'll say, this looks like exactly like me. This is me spinning my 8 plates, which are my multiple streams of income, and it's not a look of overwhelm on my face. It's a look of focus and clarity. I'm also involved with a whole lot of charities, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but in the upper left-hand corner, that is the Boys and Boy and Girl Scouts, and it's, I think they call them Girl Guides over in the UK for the girls, but these are the Scouts, and this is a Flag Day ceremony at the Elks Lodge. And the bottom there, that's a place called St. Bonnie's Sanctuary, where they take care of neglected and abandoned animals, especially horses and larger animals. It's incredible what people will do with horses, just leave them. And it's very different than a dog or a cat. On the right, this is a place that does equine therapy with severely disabled children as young as 2.5 to 3 years old. And I've been involved with this longer than any other charity. It's a place called Carousel Ranch, and it's fantastic what can be done. These things are part of my life because now I have the time and the money to really get involved, which I didn't before. This is, I'm there on the right, and this is in the red shirt, and these are some of my clients and high school students in Santa Barbara. We do something called Backyard Bounty. So that means we go to people's homes. I mean, they have large acreage, but it's not large enough for a big company to take over and come and harvest the crop. So they depend on volunteers, such as all of us there, to pick fruit and do things. And on that particular day, in about 5 hours, we picked a ton of citrus, 2,000 pounds of citrus fruit. So I will never eat a piece of citrus fruit again in the same way because I know how much work it is to do it. You can't really see, but all those trees were on a slope and they went miles and miles back into the distance. And this was a wonderful way for me to get people that work with me connected with the high school students that I love so dearly and work with closely through my Rotary group. All right, and I live in Santa Barbara part-time, and I don't know if I need to say much more about that. I'm able to live in two cities. I live in the desert, and I live at the beach. So it's a life that's possible because of what I'm going to show you. These are just some of my books, and being a published author meant a great deal to me. It was something I had wanted to do and didn't know how to do and didn't understand, and I came online, and I thought, gee, if I start writing, maybe it would be possible. And sure enough, I now have 14 books that have all gone to bestseller status at least once. I'm very proud of this, and this is what I'm going to teach you, how to take the content from your book or books and really change it into a whole business for yourself. So I'm going to break this down into different parts. There is no other way to do it because there's so many moving parts. The first part is creating your online course. So we're going to talk about the content for the course and the sales letter. So this is copywriting. Don't let this scare you. You can get this to the point where it's almost the easiest part of the process. Then setting up the course, we're going to talk about membership sites and why I believe that's the best way to deliver your online course. Then actually teaching it. So you're going to use webinars, teleseminars. We'll talk about what's best for you. The best way, of course, is the way that you will actually implement and use. Then marketing, I call this the fun part, and the marketing needs to begin before you do anything else and continues forever. Well, not forever, only until you die. So nothing is really forever. All right, so delivering the course, because people expect the recordings, the replays, and then what's next for you, and we'll talk about live events and other things that are possible after you get your online course going. All right. There we go. So let's define an online course. So what we're doing right now is an online course. It's training that's presented on the internet, and people are able to learn virtually because it used to be that we went locally to community colleges, to adult extension courses, things like that, and that's how we received our information. And these days it's very, very different, because online courses are taught on just about every topic, and you're able to do it in a way that works for you so you can time shift. You don't have to be doing it live at that second. All right, so making your online course be the content from your book, this makes sense. So think about the reason that you wrote your book in the first place. You had information that you wanted to share with other people around the world. And by turning it into an online course, then the people that are interested in this topic, they're going to learn all of this from you. Now you'll notice that my slides are quite wordy, and I've done that for a reason. I want you to be able at the end, I want you to be able to go through this. Be sure you get the downloads of this, the replays of this, and the PowerPoints. Make sure you have that package, because if you go through my presentation, you'll be able to actually do everything that I'm teaching you here. I think that's very, very important. I just wanted to say that at this point in time. So you're going to share everything that you put in the book with other people who want to have that information. So online courses, they've reached a new popularity. I've been doing them almost from the very beginning. I came online in 2006. By 2007, I was teaching courses, and it seemed like the natural progression. I didn't think of it as a separate part of my business at all. But they're more and more popular, and we just talked about time shifting. A lot of times, you're doing something during the day. Maybe you still have a full-time job. Maybe you have children at home during the day. Whatever the situation is, doing something during the day might not work for you, and you want to do it maybe even late at night. So if you can go through an online course, do the replays late at night, that works for you. Also, I believe at this point in time, people are hungrier for information and knowledge than at any time previously that I can think of. So people have always wanted to take a class once in a while and read a book, do things like that. But now people really want to have information at their fingertips so they can make life-changing moves, and like what I did. So if you base it on your book's content, then people will be focused and on track for success with what you have to teach them. And remember, more people will learn the content of your book during an online course than will ever read it. Why? Because people buy our books. Sometimes they only read the first page or two. Sometimes they only look at the table of contents. Sometimes they look at the end of the book to see about the author, something like that. Very few. The percentage is very, very small. I won't quote you numbers. I don't have accurate numbers. But it's very rare for people to purchase a book and at any time during the next 30 days or so to actually read it cover to cover. With an online course, you can really get them focused and listening to you so that they can learn what you intended to share in the book. Because it's really a sad feeling when we write books and we feel like, oh no, the person didn't read it. And people will be very honest with you if you meet them in person and ask them about that. So if you teach an online course, what's possible? It opens up the world for you. It really does. Once I started teaching courses, people thought of me, it's like they loved that I was a published author. That was great. But once I was teaching online courses based on the content of the books, that's when they thought of me as an authority. And my community really began to expand at that point. Plus teaching, and I can say this because I taught for 20 years in the public schools in Los Angeles, teaching is very, very rewarding. And I taught under some pretty horrible circumstances much of the time. It still was rewarding to teach people of any age. And I believe it's a special calling, and you'll have that feeling when you're teaching online. You'll have students that are thrilled to show up and be in your virtual classroom. Oh, and the income, that's right. You'll do incredibly well with online courses because unlike a live training such as the community college or the extension program at the local high school where they only have 30 or 40 seats, or even if they have an auditorium, they may only have a couple hundred seats, you have a million seats. You have the restrooms right down the hall on the left. You have refreshments in the room just past that. People can take breaks. They can come back a day later or a year later and get the information for the first time or again. So it's very, very different that way. All right, so we're going to talk about how to create the online course. I know you've been waiting for this. And remember, you're learning about online courses in an online course. That's what I'm teaching you right now. So I want you to think about this in regards to your book. I want you to read through your manuscript carefully and ask yourself some questions. How can you divide your book into parts? And depending upon the topic and the size of your book, it's really desirable to have 2, 3, or 4 parts. I don't like to do more than 5 parts. If I do a fifth part of the course based on the book, then it's bonus material. So just from doing this 100 times or so, this is my experience that I'm sharing with you. Then look at the chapters and the sections and think about this part of the process. Make some notes on this because everything that you have in your book needs to be designed to be taught online, and you can do it very easily when you start to make your notes. What's the theme of your book? What's the premise? How will you convey this information to people that haven't read your book? Because for the most part, when I teach an online course based on a book, most of the time the people, like I said earlier, they may own the paperback or the Kindle version, but many times they haven't read the book. But they do know that the information is valuable. They love learning it from the author. That's a big part of all of this. But we have to convey that information to them. And also, before you create the course, right up front when you start making notes, what is it you want people to do after they take your course? What is your goal for them? So it can be as simple as to finally actually read the book and leave you a review, or it can be something much, much bigger, like to attend your live event based on the book and to join you for mentoring or coaching or consulting. And then during the course, you want to create some exercises and activities that are going to facilitate this process. So take some time thinking about this. This is a wonderful part of the online course creation process. If you do this part right, you'll really set yourself up for more business later on and bigger goals being achieved by what you're doing with your content. All right, now remember to keep it simple. A lot of times something I might say or someone else might say might seem very sophisticated or complicated or confusing. Just keep everything very, very simple. And think about your book. So any book that I have, I said I had 14 books, any of these books, I can explain the topic in less than 30 minutes. Can you do the same? And I'm not talking about every detail. I'm talking about the premise and the theme and what it is that you want someone to really learn and take away from your content. What a smart 12-year-old understands your idea. Because if you have something that's more academic, then you'll need to break it down even further. Ask yourself if what you have will stand alone without further study. And if you use Microsoft Word and perhaps even other programs, you'll know something about the Flesch-Kincaid score. And I write at about a ninth grade level. And what's interesting is I assumed that the score only went from first grade through 12th grade. It wasn't until I wrote with someone else and we were passing the manuscript back and forth during the time we were writing that one time when I checked, it came up as a 14. And that's when I realized it goes above 12th grade. My writing just never actually reaches that on its own. So the idea is to keep it more simple, to keep it so that even if someone's an academic, they're going to understand it at a very basic level. I am not saying to dumb down your material, not at all. If there are things that require further study, if there is information that you need to convey to them so that they will understand the course, you must do so. Don't take away from the overall structure of what you've done. All right, so now we're breaking everything into chunks. These are the parts of your course. And start at the beginning, and I know this sounds redundant, or I'm not sure what it may sound like to you, but you must start at the beginning. I see so many courses where people have jumped in partway. And for people that are very, very familiar with the topic, it's not an issue and they don't even notice it. But people that are at the very beginning, they will say, gee, I liked the course, but I didn't really get much from it. It's because you didn't explain terminology, specialized jargon, you didn't do a step-by-step approach. I learned this when I taught my book, Huge Profits with Affiliate Marketing. For some reason, even though affiliate marketing was not an easy concept for me to grasp back in 2006, when I began teaching, I was leaving out the basics because I thought they were too basic. I thought that people would say, oh, I already know this. When is she going to get to the good part? Well, the good part doesn't make any difference if they don't understand. So I will just, tell you to remember that people learn in different ways, and you really want to do step by step so that they understand from the beginning what it is you're teaching them. All right, now we have our notes. The notes get turned into an outline. I have omitted this step a couple of times and have come to regret it and have had to go back so that I can redo my outline. And I do this when I write a book, and I do this when I create a course. It's so, so important. It makes everything come together more easily. You've been able to divide things into parts that now will make sense to you, because just because you have your book with chapters 1 through 12, whatever you have, and maybe you have 4 or 5 sections, it doesn't mean that it would translate to the online course in the same way. You might need to start at a different point. You might even need to start at a point that your book did not start at. You might have to do something earlier to kind of lay some foundation, and that could be part of your first lesson that you're teaching online. And remember, with the outline, I'm very, very strict with the outline because it's so easy once you do it. If it's not in the outline, you can't create the slide for the presentation. That's my rule. And having the outline, it's just made everything come together so easily. I want you to have the same experience. All right, so I start a word processing document. I use Word. That's my program of choice. And I include everything. So any research that I do, I add the link from where I found the research. I even add the keywords that I used in Google to find the source that I'm now going to use, you know, for part of the course. With the sales letters, if I get an idea for a headline or something that I want to make sure that I include so people know exactly what it is I'm teaching, it's in the outline. If I'm going to do additional sessions later on, if I'm going to do something like for my list building training, I just did a bonus module on list building using PLR. So that was in my outline, but that would be good to do that as a very specific type of training within that course. I like to use quotes, so when I hear a quote that I know will fit somewhere, then that goes into the outline, and I also put it where it should be. If I think it should be in part 3 of the course, I put it there, wherever I think that it belongs. And also, you're going to be creating additional materials for your online course. So in addition to your book, then you may want to create a workbook, study guides, handouts, there's checklists. There's so many materials, videos, all kinds of things. Write about it in the outline so that you can always come back to that. And I like to organize my outline. I never clean it up. I never get rid of anything and save it again with items deleted. I want to know what I was thinking on day one when I started creating the course. All right, another thing that is really interesting when you're teaching an online course is that it gives you a second chance. And I remember feeling that way when I wrote Weekend Marketer and taught that as a course. I taught it as a course before the book was published because I wanted to show people what I was doing. And when you teach the course, it's your second chance to do something a little differently than you did in the book. So if you wrote your book a year or 2 or 3 years ago, whenever you wrote it, there may be information. When you go back and read your book as your reader would do from start to finish, over a period of days, then maybe there's something you'd say, gee, right here, I could have been more clear on something. I could have presented some additional material at this part of the book. Well, this is your chance to do that in your course. So the audience will have a richer experience because of the additional materials that you have presented or ideas and concepts that you now are presenting more clearly. Just as important as what to include in the course is what you'll exclude. So just because it was in the book doesn't mean it has to be in the online course and vice versa. Think big with everything and decide what's the most important part of what you're doing that you're going to share. Now, once in a while, we all get off track. So you're creating the course, and you look at some of the slides and you say, you know, this really wasn't the book, what the book was about at all. This isn't the real message that I wanted to share from the book. So you've got to pull yourself back on course. Be gentle with yourself. But remember, you can teach other online courses in the future. So everything I've taught it again and again in different ways and in different formats. It's away from my book because I did it the first time based on the book. All right, setting up your online course. So the first thing is you need a domain where the online course will live. It can be your name, onlinecourse.com, your book's name. So I could have weekendmarketeronlinecourse.com if that was the one, or book blog broadcast online course. Or you could do something that's more branding. I have my really simple branded courses. I have over a dozen of them now. I think I'm working on the 14th one right now, and that's been popular for me. Whatever you decide on, buy the domain so that your online course has a place to live on the internet. And you may also have a domain for your book. See if you can use that one with /course, something like that. I'm thrilled to answer questions on this, but you know, be strategic when it comes to the marketing of everything. Make sure that you have the name out there that you want. Then I have a logo created. I don't do graphics. That's not my strong area. So I have a logo created that I use on the website, the slides, every material, handout, everything that I have. Somebody creates a really nice logo, and we really have that down now where I know, you know, what she's going to create for me. Then decide which platform you're going to use for your members. I'm not going to discuss that here. I have very strong feelings about which ones I like best, but you use something that you're familiar with, something that will work for you. And I believe that delivering it through a membership site is a crucial part of this process that I'm sharing here, and I want you to think about it seriously. If you just give it to people on a download page, it's not the same feeling. It's not the same experience for them. All right, so this is the techie stuff, more of setting up your online course. You're going to have WordPress installed on your hosting account, so you or someone will do that for you. Even though I know how to do that, I no longer do it very often. I might help a client once in a while, but basically there are tech people that if we do the work that they love doing, we're taking that away from them, so let them do it. And then they add a membership site area to it. Then think about how you're going to deliver and record your webinars and how you'll deliver and record your audio. So right now, here at the Bestseller Summit, you are receiving video that somehow Alice and Ron recorded and then were able to deliver. And I don't know what system they use, and it doesn't make any difference. They use what they feel is best. I use what I feel is best. What you will use will be the one that will work best for you. And there are several choices for both recording webinars and audio. All right, this is the most effective, because if you're just listening to me right now, you're getting a different take on online courses than if you're seeing the presentation, if you're seeing the webinar. It's also a higher perceived value. We really have different expectations when we're able to have the webinar replay and the PowerPoint slides, that type of thing. And it's also the industry standard at this point. And what works best for many people, I am one of them, is visual and auditory learning simultaneously. So the other learning is tactile, and that comes into play when you have a live event, which is the very best of everything, to have all three. So people are going to purchase your course. Start with a business PayPal account. There's no cost for this. It's easily connected to your autoresponder service, whichever one you're using. Don't complicate this. This can all be set up in an hour or so. And PayPal is wonderful about answering questions over the phone. All right, your sales letter. So take a deep breath. For me in the beginning, I thought, oh no, I'm not going to be able to have a business online because I'm not a copywriter and I don't understand copywriting. It's confusing. I bought a few people's books and that confused me anymore, even more. So what you're going to do is remember that this is something that can be simplified in a great way. So start writing down some headlines. Who else? Who else wants to trade in their 9-to-5 job and become a weekend marketer full-time instead of just on the weekends? What if? Imagine. Or a statement of fact. So these are four different ways. The who else I love very much. What if works well. Imagine allows your prospect to really dream and envision what's possible with your training. A statement of fact is just that. It's very straightforward. This is for my really simple content marketing. You will need to create, syndicate, curate, publish, distribute and market content regularly if you want to gain any traction at all for your online business. Now, this is kind of harsh. It's a hard-hitting statement of fact. It's true, in my opinion, and many other people's, but it's a way to get people's attention at the beginning of a sales letter. And again, I put all of that in the section of my outline where I call it sales copy. And in your sales letter, tell people exactly what they're going to learn, what you're going to be teaching them, when it's going to be, and the specific dates and time of each part. Many times I go to someone's page and they're going to be teaching an online course and I go, well, this is great, but I wonder when it is. If they just say the month, it's not enough for me. I need to know what day. And if I'd like to attend live, then I want to know the time of day. For me, I almost never attend live. I prefer to time shift. That works best for me. So I don't care so much about the times, but I need to know the dates so I know when to expect it in my members area. So with the sales letter, you're doing this before your course is created. And I learned this with information product creation many years ago to start working on that sales letter because that would give me ideas for what I would include in the product. It works just the same for online courses. When I'm doing my bullet points, when I'm telling what every session is going to contain, that gives me ideas of what to add to the outline so that I can create the slides so I know even more of what I'm going to teach in the course. Now, it's set up in WordPress, and there's a reason for this. WordPress is very easy for you to log in. I'm working on my newest course right now on my other, you can't see, I'm pointing 90 degrees to my right to where I have another computer. And I have the page set up, and I'm going in there, and I'm editing and changing and adding to a sales page there. I don't need a tech person, a webmaster, I don't need anyone. It's just like a word processing document. I go in there and make changes, I preview the changes, and then I update to save those changes. So you can play around, you can experiment with different copy, different headlines, see what feels right. So if I create a new course, I send it out, and only a couple of people buy, and only three more people hit reply and ask me questions from the email I sent about it, then I know there's something wrong. I typically go in and change the headline. What happens to the headline that was there? It becomes a sub-headline. So the winner is the headline. Everything else is not a loser, never ever, never a failure. They become sub-headlines. And it's fun to have this control and power over what you're creating online by not having to go through another person and having a time delay. Every time that I go back, I start reading what I already have out loud. Reading aloud is really, really underestimated. It's so, so powerful. So I read it because I feel like when I'm reading it aloud, the person that's reading it that I want to see if they're interested in coming into my online course, into my program, that's how it's coming through to their brain. And then go back to the outline and see what you still have to add. Sometimes you'll be in the shower or driving or walking the dog or something and you'll say, oh, that's right, this was something that I didn't even mention. So then as quick as you can, if you don't have a way to record or write with you, then you get that written down and add it to your outline. So keep writing those headlines. It improves your skill, sometimes just for fun. Sit around and do outlines. And yes, after you start selling your online course, you'll realize that copywriting is fun. Because copywriting, the sales copy, is the only way that we can inform someone about what it is we want to teach them. And add a section always about yourself in relation to the topic of your course. So with affiliate marketing, I always talk about how that was the very first way I earned income online. I didn't have any products. I didn't know what else to do. So I started recommending the products that I had been purchasing that first year to learn how to do the business. So I talk about that part. With Weekend Marketer, I talked about how I was still teaching. There was no chance I was going to leave my classroom before the end of June, the end of the school year. And so during that time, and I was still doing real estate, I was a weekend marketer. The only time I really had was Saturday and Sunday, and because I did the real estate during that time, I didn't have a whole lot of hours either of those days, but I had more than what I had Monday through Friday. So when you write about yourself in relation to the topic, you're really sharing a more personal side of why this is important to you. Affiliate marketing, in my mind, is important because that's how people learn how to do the business. They're learning from people that are more experienced, and it's an earn while you learn program. Weekend marketer, very, very important concept. If you can start doing something part-time, you can see your way clear to leave your job behind and do it full-time. So now let's talk about bullet points. You want them results-based. So I use the so that feature, so that benefit. So here's an example. You'll learn how to create simple information products quickly so that you can build up your digital inventory in no time at all. I will teach you how to become a weekend marketer so that it will be your choice whether to stay or leave your 9-to-5 job. So think about this for yours. All right, so if you're new to teaching on webinars, that learning curve might seem steep. And I learned how to do it between Christmas and New Year's, my second year online when I needed to start doing this. And what I did was I hosted a webinar every day for the small group of people that I was mentoring at that time. And I would tell them what time, they would jump on, I would do it, and then I could see how it worked. The very first one I messed up. And somebody said, are we going to do this again next week after the first of the year? And I said, no, we're going to do it again in 2 hours. Please come back if you can. And I did it over and over. And between Christmas and New Year's, I had done it about 10 times or so. Then I called the webinar company and asked them the questions that I then had, because you have different questions after you actually do something. So I learned from Brian Tracy long ago that everything in business is a learnable skill. And I think learning in that way from him made me just kind of relax, because I had been feeling like everybody was born a business person except for me. And when he said, no, no, everything is a learnable skill, then it gave me hope that I was going to be able to learn things more quickly. So keep everything simple and then practice, practice, practice. Again, there I am, very focused, great clarity with the multiple streams. Online courses are probably at the top of those plates. All right, so right now you might be thinking, everything I want to teach has already been taught by other people. They have more experience, more knowledge, and even by me. I've blogged about it, talked about it on my teleseminars, discussed it in my live presentations, and I've even published a book on it. So be honest, is anybody thinking that right now? Perhaps. All right, so remember this from Finding Dory? Just keep swimming. The best things happen by chance, so take a chance and create your course. You must just move forward, and I'm going to tell you why. People need to learn, see, hear, watch things over and over again, just like little kids do. Little kids want to see 101 Dalmatians video 101 times, and as an adult you may forget why that's so important. They want to hear it so it becomes part of who they are. They want to be able to share the exact dialogue. They want to share the stories with you, with other people. So all of us are just like that. We, as adults, we're just like little kids. No one's going to teach your topic like you will. You authored the book, so of course you have a unique perspective on it. How many books are there on affiliate marketing? Probably 1,000 of them. I don't think anybody, any place, on any continent, in any country, has the same perspective that I have. I had a unique experience, and I believe many people have similar experiences getting started with affiliate marketing, and I want them to hear what I have to say, and I want to tell them over and over so they really get it. There's somebody somewhere in the universe who can only hear or learn it from you. The first year I was online, when I was struggling, when everything was so confusing, there were a few people who said things in a way that I only could have heard from them, like Brian Tracy telling me that business was a learnable skill. That kept me going that day and every other day when I felt like giving up. So it's going to be the same with your topic. There are people who can only hear it from you. And it should be fun. teaching is fun. Once you realize that people are looking at you, you're the teacher. Think back when you were in school, even through high school and into college, you had certain instructors and professors that you really, really admired and looked up to. This is going to be you as the teacher. Are you going to do it live? Yes. You want that experience of teaching live. And you decide how you're going to record. I can't say enough. Practice, practice, practice. So with the teaching, like I said at the beginning of this presentation, that I wasn't going to hold anything back. You never want to, never ever. People sometimes feel like if they give everything they have, that's it. They won't have anything else, and no one will ever listen to them again. That's so, so not true. Be specific. Include detail as much as possible. You want to have visuals, screenshots, images. Examples and case studies work very, very well. And everything that you know on your topic, then teach it on your own online course. While you're in this process, you're going to continue thinking about it, and you're going to continue adding that to your outline while you're writing and creating it. What happens if you get really wonderful ideas after you create the course? If it's related to the course, you'll go back and add another session, a bonus session perhaps. There are different ways to do that. So like I told you that I did with the webinar service, I started out, I was by myself, and then I invited my small group of people, and we all practiced together. So I had them practice asking me questions and looking at my screen and different things. That was before I ever sold a course to anybody where I was teaching my online course. I had this group of people that were willing to help me and spend that time, and people love doing this. So don't be afraid to ask them. And if people don't have time, they'll tell you, but the people that are available at the time you want to do it, they'll come and they'll be there. People want us to succeed. They do. You want to teach it live all the way at least once, all the way through. And the reason for this, a couple reasons, it gives you experience, and also you have what I refer to as one season of the course. I do my courses like television does, like they have the first season, the second season, the third season. You'll have one season in the can, and you'll have it in the members area. It has solid content. This is very empowering to you as the entrepreneur, as the one teaching, because all of a sudden, you don't just have an empty site. You've already taught the first group of sessions, however many parts you divided your course into, and if you have a bonus session or not, you've already got that in your members area. So during the process, I always keep returning to the sales page. I want to make sure that there's a slide and information in my outline for everything that I intended to teach. Very important. And anything that's new, first add it to the outline before you can add it to your slides. Then think about what else you can create, because people love the extras that you create for them. A workbook is mostly blank, but you guide people through a process there. Checklists, handouts, interviews with experts, or interviews just with somebody that's a case study works very well. A resource guide, people want to know, you know, what are you using to do this, that, or the other. Additional videos. And then with your slides, like here, I've had a lot of text. You want to break them up with visuals whenever possible. These are my three little dogs. Micah is the white Maltese. On the right is Sarah. She's a Yorkie. They were briefly married. And above is Kaylee. She is the oldest daughter. They also have two sons. So Micah says he is not the father because none of them look like him. I reminded him what happened 56 days before they came into the world. And he says, no way. And I said, way, totally way. So these are three of my little dogs. All right, let's talk about marketing. This is also known as the fun part. So every day of your life, for the rest of your life, I want you to think about marketing. It's never ever a bad word. It's never a negative thing. It's always a way that you let people know who you are and what you're doing. So I showed you slides about different things that I do with the charities. Whenever I'm at those charities, people say, how have you been? And when they ask me that, how have I been, what have I been up to, what's been going on in my life, when they do that over the next month, I'll say, oh, so many things. I'm so busy. I'm doing wonderful things. I was one of the guest presenters on the Bestseller Summit. And they'll say, you were? Well, tell me more about that. And I'll talk about this over and over and over. I'll talk about some of the other presenters. I'll talk about Alice and Ron that are leading us with all of this. And I talk a little bit about what I shared. So think of this as how you market. You're letting people know in an informative and interesting way what you're doing. So with your course, start that marketing before the course is ready. Contact your circle of influence. I don't know if you're familiar with this phrase or not, but circle of influence is important. It's people that you know online and in person who are interested in what you're doing, may be good prospects, not always, but they may be good prospects for what you're doing, but they're willing to share back and forth with you and answer questions about what you're doing so that you know what to include, what to exclude. And that circle of influence online, typically people think of their group in Facebook, so that could be good. If you have a list, it's people on your list. In your day-to-day life, when I was teaching, I belonged to groups related to teaching. Those people were in my circle of influence. The teachers and the other adults at the school, the parents even sometimes, the administration, that became my circle of influence. In real estate, I belonged to different groups and organizations, a bigger even circle of influence. Things that you do, you belong to a club? These days I belong to Rotary. So I have a few hundred people from the Rotary clubs that I visit regularly that are in my circle of influence. Whatever you're doing, if you have a club, if you play tennis, if you go to church, whatever you're doing, those people are your circle of influence. Don't lose contact with them. Think of it as people that you might send cards to during the holiday. These are people that we care about each other and we're willing to help each other in a bigger way than people that just don't know us. So I like to ask people that have businesses, they typically are in Rotary, I say, would you look at my sales page and see if you know what it is that I'm trying to sell to people? Sometimes they come back and they go, I don't have a clue. Now, they don't do that anymore, but the first couple years I was writing sales copy, they'd say, well, wait, what is it you want us to do? I think it's this, and it would be wrong. That meant I had to go back and refine it over and over and over. So these people are just really very, very valuable to you. So the marketing goes on forever, remember that. Or not forever, just until you die, okay? You want to blog about your online course before it's ready. What's the topic? Remind them of the book that you wrote. Put a link in your blog post to your book and tell them that an online course is forthcoming. Ask them to leave a comment, or if they're on your list, or ask them to join your list if they're not. When they're on your list, tell them they can hit reply to any of your emails and they can talk to you about the online course so they can know when it's ready. You might want to have a separate opt-in for them to opt into to get notification as soon as it's ready. And for those people, you can give them a special price. So that's a great thing to do. Then this blog post is promoted everywhere. So just this morning, I was writing a blog post, and I was writing it about setting and achieving goals. So I went to Just Retweet. I went to Facebook, to my groups, and to my own wall there. I went to LinkedIn and not only posted about the post, so I gave information about it, but I also submitted it as an article on LinkedIn. Medium.com, did I put, yeah, here I have Medium.com. This you can have a plug-in now. It's a pretty new plug-in. We've just been using it for a couple of months. I used it for a few weeks before I told any people that I mentor about it. I like to be the guinea pig. I like to see how it works. And I realize the minute you hit publish, that's what goes to Medium.com, so any changes or updates or anything won't go there. So you want to make sure it's as complete as possible before you send it. Facebook Notes is also a place to put your content. Ask people to share your articles and post. If you ask them, many times they will do it. If you don't ask them, most of the time they won't ever think of it on their own. You want to build momentum and excitement for your course. Then offer an introductory price. So if somebody has opted in early to find out about it, they would get the introductory price. Also for your list, I always do an introductory price in the very, very beginning because that way it lets me know that people are interested in the topic, they're willing to spend some money on it, And I also offer bonuses. You can offer a laser-focused phone session, a 20-minute session to the first 5 or 10 people that sign up. And when they sign up and they get their session, get feedback from them. Why did you sign up for the course? What do you wish that I had included that you didn't see there? What would you like to do as a result of taking this course? What course would you like to take from me next? Have you read my book or books? If so, why or why not? Find out all kinds of great things from people who actually spent money to get into your course. Now, in the very, very beginning, I taught a course on storytelling, and I had just been online maybe a year and a half at the most at that point, maybe just over a year, and I only had a couple of people that signed up for the storytelling course. So what did I do? I invited people who said they would come to the live sessions. I invited them at no cost. So I had a group of about 12, and that was wonderful. No one knew who had paid and who hadn't. It didn't make any difference. And the next time when I taught the same course, I got testimonials from those people, and it was very, very popular the second time. The first time, people really weren't talking about storytelling. They didn't know me. My list was small, and this is what I did to make a difference with it. Because what you don't want to do is say, oh, only a couple people signed up, I'm going to postpone it or cancel it. No, 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 never, never, never. Continue marketing, that's the answer. You might want to consider an affiliate program so that people can promote it for you. And it's better to get, when I was in real estate, I learned something interesting. I wanted people to partner with me when I started in my 20s in real estate. Most of the people in the office I worked in anyway would rather make 100% of nothing than 50% of something. So with affiliate marketing, make sure that if you have an affiliate program, see it that way. You haven't lost money. You've gained 50% of something that you never would have had before. So it's all how we shift our thinking, how things work out for us. Then create a timeline to launch your course. I like to do, here, let me go back to this one. I like to do about 21 days. That works well for me. So on day 21, that's the last day, last chance to get in. We're starting tomorrow, like for the Bestseller Summit. Right up until the last minute, you can sign up, then things change. Things are going to be different. And then along the way, marketing is most of what you do, along with completing your course. So I am marketing before anything is 100% finished. Even the sales copy is going to be edited and changed in many ways. I have sent emails to my list saying, I'm giving you an introductory price because not even my sales letter is 100% finished, let alone the course. People are thrilled to take the journey with me. They come in when things aren't finished, knowing that when the first person buys, that's my reason why I must finish it in a timely manner and make it better than I even thought it would be. So have that excitement about the marketing. Then, back-end offers. This is important because what do we want people to do next? Someone has been your student in your online course, and people will follow your lead. What is it you want them to do? You may want them to read the book and leave you a review. That could be a piece of it, but please don't let that be the only thing. You want them to be moving forward beyond that. You could have small group coaching around your topic. That works very, very well, and I've seen that model kind of making a comeback during 2016 and into 2017. So think about doing that. You can do mentoring with the person as an individual. You can do consulting with a group of people. So I do some corporate consulting. That's where they bring you in to talk about a specific topic that you're an authority on so they can get your take, your perspective, and you work with people that are part of the corporation and part of that team, that project within the corporation. Okay, a live event. Live events are fantastic based on books. I was in church last week and I thought, isn't this an ongoing live event based upon the greatest book ever written, the most popular book? So think big with this. You can also do an ongoing membership site. So for my live events, I've done Write, Publish, Prosper, and I've done Weekend Marketer Live multiple times. People love being taught what I had in the book and additional materials that have kind of sprouted out of that over the last few years, they're willing to come back a second or a third time. They're willing to be part of my mentoring program. And newer people, or people that didn't really think about it, they weren't in the right place a year or two or 3 years ago, they're going Weekend Marketer Live. That sounds exactly like what I would like to attend. You can also turn your online course, remember it lives on a domain on the internet, and you have a member site, you can turn that into an ongoing membership site where people could pay by the month to work with you. All right, now you're delivering it. You're going to add it to the members area. People can access it anytime. Most people are watching it live or in replay once, then they just want to listen to the audio. So I have always, from the beginning, stripped out an MP3 file for this. You're just delivering information over the internet, so it's not complicated. Use the system that you'll actually use. All right, what's next? As soon as it concludes, so just say you've broken it into four parts, and you've taught sessions 1, 2, 3, 4 over a period of 4 weeks, immediately put it into home study. The people that will learn from you by the replays, not live that time, announce when season 2 will begin on your sales page. Think about this as ongoing training that you can do. Ask people for testimonials and raise the price. I always, always, always raise the price as soon as the first set of sessions, my season 1, is completed. Start discussions everywhere, social media, your blog. Another thing that I started doing, I don't see anybody else doing this, I create a short report, I call it a focus guide, on the topic. I have a whole lot of content based on my blog post typically. I put it together, and what's my call to action at the end of my report that I call a focus guide? It's for them to sign up for the course, because this is going out to a mass audience, not just the people who already took the course. And begin outlining your next course. Have this as a business model, not just a one-time thing. All right, so you're going to think about hosting a live event. Now, with a live event, you can start small. Right, so immediately after you finish teaching your online course, you want to think about hosting a live event based on your book. And I recommend starting small and starting local. You can do this with just a couple of other people. It's still a live event if you're just getting started. So I've done this actually around the world, because at this point, when I travel somewhere, many times I'll let people know that there's a mastermind. And if they want to discuss the topic of one of my books, then I can meet with them. So get used to doing that, meeting with people and being the person that is leading and facilitating the group. And that will lead to bigger live events. And you can plan a book signing in your local, because I say to become a local celebrity, and plan a book signing. And when you're doing that, so you're signing your book on your topic, your online course is ready to go in the next week. Hand out flyers that talk about the event or the online course. Then your local radio station is a great resource. I have that in both cities, where when I have something I want to share, they let me be a guest on somebody's show. There are a couple of different people that do that, and that's a great way to market on an ongoing basis. Write an article for a local newspaper. I have two offline publications that I write for, and they don't require exclusive content, so I'm repurposing that content over and over again, and they get the benefit of having it. I get a byline, I'm not paid for it, but it makes me really more credible in my community, and has led to many great things, especially consulting work that I get. Local service organizations like Rotary. Rotary needs a speaker at least 45 times a year. They meet every week. And there are only, you know, 7-8 meetings a year where they don't have a speaker. So that's a great way to get practice speaking to groups. And you want to keep up the momentum. Remember, you don't have to do marketing forever, just until you die. All right, so just to recap, for your online course, you're going to think about your book and what it is that you want to share with people. If you're really breaking that book down, you have the book in front of you, you have a person in front of you, what is it that you want them to know that's inside the pages of that book? and you're going to create your content and your sales letter. And remember the outline, so important. You can't create a slide without the outline. Start writing the sales letter while you're still doing the creation of the course. Then your setup is your website and membership site. You do it or have someone do it for you. I have someone do it for me. Then teaching, webinars and teleseminars. Market, this is the fun part. If you think of marketing as being fun, which now I can't stop having fun with marketing. It's so much fun for me. So if you do that, if you kind of embrace that idea, your whole life will change. I can promise you that much. Then delivering, you're delivering the recording and the replays, and think about how you're going to do that. Do it the very simplest way possible. You can even do a teleseminar and show slides. Some of my people do it that way after learning how to teach the course. And then what's next? What do you want to do next with people who have read your book and or gone through your online course? And that becomes really very exciting because it leads to amazing things in your life, some things that you may not have even thought of until you teach the course and are ready to do this. All right, so that's the end of my presentation, and then we have a special offer for everyone. Are we ready to talk about that, or we want to answer questions first? Because I hope people have lots and lots of questions.
They do have questions, and yeah, please do the offer so that they have questions about that as well. They can ask those.
All right, it's my really simple content marketing course. You can get it at bestsellerssummit.com/Connie Green. And the Connie Green definitely needs to be lowercase. bestsellerssummit.com/Connie Green. Use the code SUMMIT, S-U-M-M-I-T, to get $100 off. So you're only going to pay a third of what that course sells for. And I love that course very much.
All right.
I'll put that in the chat box there.
I saw a few questions, but I wanted to make a comment about the sales page, what you said about creating the sales page as you're doing the course. And that is, it's the brilliant way to do it because, and it's how I always do it. In fact, I sometimes start at the sales page because it gets you in that thought process of thinking of what do my customers want, what would make them want to buy this, and knowing that is the way to create the best course possible. So working on, though, even though people are trying to avoid the sales page, even if you don't start with the headline, do the headline later, who cares, right? Start with
yes.
The bullet points and what's going to be included and all that, and you know, before you know it, you've got most of your sales page done.
Yes, I'm glad you see the value in that, Alice, because mm-hmm. It makes such a huge difference. You know, because you're in a different way of thinking when you're doing the sales page. Sales page is like, okay, you know, why are we going to buy this? What kind of great stuff is in here that we want to buy?
Yeah. So I know that I had written some of these down so I don't have to scroll all the way back because that was a little while ago now. Patricia had a great question that I think is on a lot of people's minds, and it's what if she asked, like, what if you haven't developed the expertise like that you have, for example, Connie? You know, how can you actually turn, you know, something into a course?
Well, no, that's a great question, but the truth is, when we write a book, there was a day, that point in time where we said, I'm going to write a book on this topic. This is something that I know something about. I have something to say. I want to share this with people. So if you can go back to that point, you're an expert in the topic that you wrote the book on because you're the one that put it together. You're the one that spent that time doing it. So, you know, I gave the example of affiliate marketing. I mean, I wrote that book pretty early on. That was like the third book I wrote or something back in 2011. And at that point, there were so many people doing so many greater and you know, more thought-provoking things. They had better ideas about affiliate marketing. I just had the way that was working for me. So I felt that I was an expert in teaching newer people that really needed that information. And, you know, we never want to hesitate or never feel like we need to be more. We are the person we are right now at this point in time, and just go with that. Go with that. You know as much as you need to know to teach someone else.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you. Now, here's the question I think was the most popular, and I recorded that Damien, Patricia, Barbara, and I think there were some others because it was asked three times. They all wanted to know. They said they know you didn't recommend a specific thing for membership, but did you have some, you know, some kind of suggestion on what, you know, some ideas of where to
All right, so I'm a storyteller. So long ago and far away in this galaxy, I realized that I needed a mentor and I needed to be with a group. And so I joined a group, and this was after I'd been online 2 years. And I ended up staying with that group for 6 years, and I'm still very good friends with the leader and all of the people that are in that group. There are a few people have disappeared, but for the most part, everybody's intact. And in that group were two brilliant young men, still in their 20s, and they were Stu McLaren and Tracy Childers. And they had an idea in 2008 that they wanted to do a WordPress plugin that would help people easily have a membership site. Because back then, the alternatives were very expensive, very clumsy, very clunky, and very technical. And for someone like me, I felt that I would never have a membership site because of all those things. And they put together Wishlist Member. And they let us in the group have a beta version of it very quickly. And we all fell in love with it. And over the summer, we all gave feedback to Stu and Tracy about what we wish we had, you know, what would be part of it, and how we were going to use it and all of that. And I have that on over 40 of my websites, Wishlist Member. I still believe in them. What they did that's very interesting, and it isn't known widely, is Stu was going to sell out his portion to Tracy because Stu has gone on and done other things, and they were still very close friends. They brought their project manager in as a full partner, and when they sold, he then became a co-owner with Tracy. I don't know that I've ever heard a story such as that, and that tells you what kind of people these are. I love the plugin. Are there other things? Sure, there are a ton of other things out there. I've tried a few of them. I always go back to Wishlist Member, so that's my story and my reason, and it just works so seamlessly with my business. I wouldn't use anything else.
All right. So there, Anne, it's a pretty simple one. And, you know, I think Jillian was talking about how even just installing WordPress was difficult. So there is a learning curve to Wishlist Member, but it is definitely one of the simpler things out there.
Definitely. And also, as over time, you'll have a tech person, or I recommend having a couple of people. You want a backup person. When they learn how to do it, you'll know what to ask them. You'll say, oh, I like what you did here. Show me what you did. And you'll go in there and play with it, knowing that it's pretty hard to break anything. And then you'll have that person that will set it up. So all of my really simple courses, they're all cloned. They're all cloned from the one previous. And then I go in and make the changes to the sales copy and to the content.
Mm-hmm.
All through Wishlist. It's so easy.
Robert wants to know what you think of Udemy.
Well, I had high expectations for that when I first saw that. I thought, boy, this will be a way that teaching online will go more mainstream for us doing online marketing. And then when I saw the pricing structure and saw how they did it, I was disappointed, and I never have recovered from that. So I think it may be good to put something there if you're new and you just want some people to have exposure to what you're doing, but I don't see it as part of any business model I would ever use.
Fair enough. So Donald says, I already have a course developed and in the can. What would you suggest as far as a strategy to take it live?
Okay, marketing, 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 and I hope
there
it's based on a book because the book is so important. So what you're going to do is you're going to go back and go through the course and have a few people do that with you, people that you know and are willing to spend that time with you, and see if you need to refresh it, if there's any information there that you wish you had taught differently or might be outdated or something like that isn't evergreen. And once you do that, then in your mind, pretend that it's a brand new course because the world has not seen it yet. Those electrons have been carefully hidden away, and start doing all those things. You're going to blog about it. You'll talk about it on social media. You'll consider an affiliate program so you can bring in other people to recommend it as well. And just let it be the information that you talk about over and over and over again. I talked about that I was in Rotary, and what I did for the Rotary Club in Santa Clarita, that's one of the cities that I live in, I'm here today, is I started marketing for them. And when I asked them if I could do it, they said, oh, yes, we'd love to have that. And I said, well, who did it before? I'll ask them what they used to do. And they said, nobody has ever wanted to do it. Nobody liked marketing. So I went in there, and I thought, this club is doing great things. They've been around 50 years, and I want to share that with the world. I want people to know. So I started blogging about and talking about and doing everything about two projects that they had done that I thought were so special. And sure enough, the international magazine that goes to 1.3 million people around the world that are in Rotary picked up what I wrote and made a huge deal of one of their projects they had done at a local elementary school. And the club, they couldn't get over it. And so the next year, I did something else and got them in the international magazine again. The project was good the day they did it. They went to the elementary school, and they built a playground for special needs children and donated some things. It was a wonderful project, but it had disappeared. It was a year later. It was long gone, and I revived it. And so you can do that with your course. Jump up and down. Let everyone know what you have and how they will benefit from it, and it'll be a winner.
Awesome. Great advice, Connie. So maybe we'll wrap it up now, but we're going to give away Connie's excellent prize of 5 autographed books and her 1-hour strategy session. So I'm going to
ask you to send those books any place in the world. So please live in the U.S., but if you don't, I will send them to any corner of the earth.
You guys have pretty good deals on shipping, though, like to ship into different countries. For us, shipping is just ridiculously expensive from Canada.
Because I remember I sent something to Melissa Ingold up in Canada, and at the post office, they could hear me all the way outside. I said, how much?
Oh, come on. All right, so we're going to do this giveaway, and then Ron's going to introduce Greg, who is just coming in and going to be ready to go for us. So the question I had was, according to Connie, and I think it's the truth, how long does the marketing of your course go on for?
That's a good one.
Whoa, they all know. There are 2 acceptable answers. You said forever or until you die. And the first person to give us that answer was Damien Flynn. So Damien, just like told Beverly, just use the email address that you signed up for the Bestseller Summit with and email mailbox@writerhelpwanted.com, and we will get you set up.
She actually said, not forever, just until you die.
Oh, okay.
Now
we have to redo it all now.
Well, congratulations, Damien. I look forward to getting those books off to you.
All right. So thanks so much, Connie. And if you guys did join us for Elite Writers Lab, that was the optional upgrade on the Bestseller Summit. Connie is actually a member of that group as well, so you could connect with her there.
Yes. Well, thank you, Ron and Alice. What you've put together, this is the second year I've been involved in this. This is just second to none in terms of excellence. I like to just go to the sales page sometimes and see my name among all those people. It really makes me feel special. And I know so many of them. I know Greg. Greg is such an amazing human being, has been so special in my life. And David Hancock that was just on, I know, and John Rhodes. I know there are only 2 people this time that I'm not so friendly with. I have to get to know them. So thank you for including me in this, and I'm thrilled to be a part of the 2 of you and your greatness.
Yeah, we just do this just to put our name next to yours, so thanks for joining us.
Yes, exactly.
All right, take care, everyone. Thank you.